This is Pirates of Savannah, The Hunt for Seamus's Booty, by Taryn P. Lupo and Ruby N. Hilliard, narrated by Adam Lishawa. If you enjoy this audiobook, please consider supporting the artists by purchasing the book at www.amazon.com or www.lupolit.com. Chapter 11. First Impressions. The four porks finally arrived at the large wooden door and were brimming over with excitement. Leo reached out to the slime-covered oak entrance and pulled on the handle. Mohammed stepped up, grabbed the knob, and joined forces to give it a strong yank. Odessa shined the last remaining light on their hands while the boys continued to pull the handle. After a full minute of straining, the boys slumped down against the hatch, exhausted. Leo panted, "I need a break. We're not getting around this door until I've rested for a few minutes." The tall teen boy looked at Mohammed. "Sorry, dude, for calling you Mo. I had no idea that was being disrespectful." "That's my dad's hang-up, not mine. It is acceptable for modern Muslims, but my father is very traditional. Feel free to call me Mo as much as you want," Mohammed offered. Odessa took charge again. "Do you guys remember the first day we met? Let's talk about that." As 8 a.m. approached, three cars arrived at the front entrance of the Mendel Academy. A beat-up 1970 Dodge Dart pulled up to the front of the lavish entrance first. The old Dart was brownish in color and had gray primer sprayed on a few bondoed spots. The vinyl roof had almost completely flaked off due to years of exposure to Savannah's merciless sun. A large crack ran up the back of the signature concave rear windshield. Tiny girl hopped out of the passenger side door, then leaned back in to hug her mama. She reached towards the back of the car and wrangled out two large, black, plastic trash bags full of clothes and accessories. Dragging the large, hefty bags out of the sun, she cleverly made a seat out of them. Crystal wiped the sweat off her forehead and made a joke to herself. "Man, Savannah's summers are so hot, I saw a dog walking after a cat." The small girl amused herself and laughed. "That's good, I have to remember that one." The next car in line was the new Mercedes S-Class with tinted windows. The Ugandan boy emerged from the back seat of the luxury vehicle wheeling a large aluminum Samsonite suitcase behind him. Slung over his back like a broadsword was an aluminum trumpet case. He waved goodbye to his parents, joined the country girl in the shade, and sat on his expensive, reinforced suitcase like it was a chair. The third car to arrive was an early 80s wood-paneled station wagon. When the car stopped, a large woman helped her daughter with her bright pink bags. The bags were the latest rage in the early 1980s, but now they were way past their prime. She helped her daughter drag the pile of, like, totally awesome, mismatched collections of old Esprit, Le Sac, Jordache, and Sports Sack luggage into the shade. The neon pink pile was a salute to her mom's yard sale addiction. The round girl squeezed her helpful mother goodbye and kissed her on the cheek. The last new student did not arrive by car. Instead, the tall, skinny teen wheeled up to the entrance of the academy on his antique skateboard, carrying a large army duffel bag strapped tightly to his back. He had jet black hair with long bangs hanging just over his right eye. His torn jeans were adorned with his own crude doodles he had drawn himself when he was bored in class. Draped across the enigmatic boy's hip was an old canvas messenger satchel. On closer inspection, the aged shoulder bag had the words "Zombie Bug Out Bag" carelessly scribbled in marker across the flap. He skated in alone and pulled up next to the other three.
"Hey,"
Leo nodded his head at the group. Mohammed replied,
"Hi there. My name is Mo."
"Sup, Mo? Do you skate?"
"No, but I would like to try someday. I have really strict parents, and they won't let me get near anything with wheels. They are worried I will break my knees and knock my teeth out,"
the African boy admitted.
Leo offered, "Well, your parents don't look like they're here, so maybe later I can show you how."
"I don't want to anger my father, but thank you anyway."
Mohammed took in Leo's vintage punk rock outfit.
"Do you mind if I ask you something? I can't figure out what the gray ribbon pinned to your shirt is for. I have seen purple ribbons for Alzheimer's awareness, gold ribbons for childhood cancer awareness, and green for Lyme disease awareness, but I have never seen a gray one. What is it for?"
Leo responded, "It's for Zombie Awareness Month. Although it's May, I wear it all the year long to remind me to be ever vigilant. I made it out of my late grandfather's silk tie."
A look of confusion shot over Mohammed's face as he processed Leo's answer. The girl with strawberry blonde braids interrupted the exchange and asked,
"Hi there, do y'all think we should just wait here until someone comes to pick us up?"
Odessa spoke up.
"Miss Mendel gave very clear instructions to wait here until it was time. We probably should follow the rules."
"Well, if we are going to just be sitting around waiting, let's greet each other. My name is Mohammed. This is my first summer here."
Mine too, Odessa announced, excited. I read all about this place on the internet. It is really impressive. The building has been around forever and was used as everything from a hospital to a hotel and even a funeral home in the past. It sat empty for years until siblings Mr. and Ms. Mendel opened up this school in it.
Well, thank you for that. I don't think I really ever wanted to know I'm sleeping in a funeral home. Now I'm really filled up with the creepin' shivers.
Crystal shook her hands down her body as if to wipe off the spookiness. Odessa awkwardly reasoned,
Oh, don't worry. It's been like 100 years since dead bodies were burned in here.
Leo slyly smirked.
Well, I think we all know that you have to always be on the lookout for zombies. Keep your ears open and don't explore any groaning noises in the basement. Just remember, what you don't know can eat you.
Zombies? I think those all live in Haiti. We should be safe here in Savannah.
Mohammed concluded.
Nah, man. Zombies are everywhere. Always keep that in mind. We have to stay together till we find a cure or a large supply of fresh brains we can distract them with.
You're never safe. They're always hungry and waiting for you to slip up,
the punk rock kid reasoned.
Odessa pompously interrupted. Let me clear this up. Zombies don't really exist. There have been cases in Haiti where people were poisoned and they appeared dead, so the local residents would think they were dead and buried them. A few hours later, when the poison wore off, the mistakenly buried people would appear to come back to life and would dig out of their graves. So, you see, real history can explain away the myths. There's no such thing as real zombies.
Leo angrily challenged, You're wrong. There are stories of the Walking Dead from every corner of the world. There are records of real zombie attacks throughout history. How do you know so much about the undead anyway?
Wiki backed off. Well, I did a report about zombies, so I did a lot of research.
She extended her hand as a peace offering to defuse the argument.
My name is Odessa, but my friends call me Wiki.
Leo nodded his head emotionlessly.
Hey, I'm Leo.
This ain't over. We'll pick this debate up later.
The three then turned their eyes to the small girl sitting on the trash bags.
Oh, hi, y'all. My name is Crystal.
Leo put her on the spot.
Crystal, do you believe the zombie apocalypse is coming?
I'm not really sure. I never thought about it before. Oh, by the way, do you know if horses can become zombies too? I'm sort of two brains about this. A zombie horse would be pretty cool, but I don't think they jump very good and they probably would constantly be trying to bite you.
Before Leo could answer the hypothetical question, they were interrupted.
Welcome, folks. My name is Mr. Mendel, and I will be showing y'all to your rooms. Grab your gear and follow me, please.
Odessa panicked.
Mr. Mendel, my bags don't have wheels. Could you help me move this pile?
Scott replied,
Sorry, Odessa, no disrespect intended, but your education starts right now. This is a lesson in teamwork and self-reliance. You need to solve your own problems any way you want. You're supposed to be very creative. I bet you can figure out a way to get your bags in your room.
She looked at the new group of students.
Can you guys help me out?
Mohammed stepped up.
My bag has wheels and is very strong. I can put your large bags on it and wheel them all in together, but you'll have to put them into your room by yourself. It would not be appropriate for me to enter a girl's room.
Crystal and Leo were too self-absorbed with their own baggage and ignored Odessa's dilemma. They only focused on dragging their own luggage in and left Mohammed and Wiki to figure it out. Scott was grinning while observing the group of new porcupines, awkwardly fighting and dragging their gear to the stairs.
Hey, you two, Mo and Leo, you are sharing room 202, and you ladies are sharing 306. Meet me back here in half an hour.
Leo instantly grew irritated.
Sharing? Dude, I need to have my own room. When I took this job, I assumed I would have my own room for the summer.
Mr. Mendel replied,
I have not been called Dude since I was 15. Please call me Mr. Mendel. I guess you should have asked more questions before you said yes to this academy. This is the situation. Take it or leave it.
Fine. I'll sleep here today, but I'm going to talk to Ruby about fixing this as soon as I see her.
First of all, you are to call her Ms. Mendel. Second, I am pretty sure she will back me up on this, but you're welcome to try, he smirked.
A slow, rhythmic thumping could be heard as the boys dragged their heavy luggage up step by step. They triumphantly pulled the dead weight into their rooms and let the bags crash to the floor. Instead of hauling everything up in one heavy load, the two girls treated the event like a shuttle race. They took shifts carrying up one bag at a time until everything was inside their room. The young men's dorm room was small and plain. It looked more like a prison cell than a dorm room. It had a bunk bed and a closet with two dressers inside of it. Leo dove onto the bottom bunk and yelled,
Mine!
Mohammed looked very annoyed by this gesture and pouted.
Aren't we going to flip a coin or something? I wanted the bottom bunk too.
Nope, you snooze, you lose,
the boy with the jet black hair sang. Mohammed schemed within himself and then giggled.
Well, if that is how you want to do this, I guess it is fine. Oh, But just so you know, I will be eating extra dairy tonight at dinner. Milk products make me very gassy, but I'm sure the smell won't keep you up. You'll also be seeing my feet in your face every morning for my sunrise prayer. Hope you sleep hard enough that my recitation won't wake you.
Oh, awesome. Hope I can find some earplugs around here somewhere, Leo said snidely.
Meanwhile, in room 306, the girls had solved their own bed dilemma without having to resort to biological warfare.
So, I was thinking, we both want the top bunk. I think I know a way we can both have it,
Wiki proposed.
Well, how?
Crystal queried.
Wiki laid her plan out. We rotate and switch beds every Sunday after we do laundry. That way we both get the top bed equal times.
That sounds a mite fair. Sort of has a King Solomon feel to it. Okay, you go ahead and take it the first week. Let's hurry up and unpack so we can get to our tour. I can't wait to see what kind of horses they have here.
This is Pirates of Savannah, The Hunt for Seamus's Booty, by Taryn P. Lupo and Ruby N. Hilliard, narrated by Adam Lishawa. If you enjoy this audiobook, please consider supporting the artists by purchasing the book at www.amazon.com or www.lupolit.com.